content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Greg Cockcroft from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Religion in the News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Religion News Service. First today, these teenagers are rewriting the rules of Israel-Palestine dialogue. And this was written by Fiona Andre from Religion News Service. As he returned home from a Jewish National Fund convention in December of 2023, Alexander Kalish, a Jewish high school student from the Seattle area, kept thinking about the demonstrations that disturbed the event. For days, pro-Palestinian protesters stood outside the Denver Convention Center to denounce the gathering of pro-Israeli students and donors. As he watched protesters condemn the events as, quote, pro-genocide, end quote, and JNF attendees dismissed their concerns, Kalish, now 17, said he considered what the two sides would gain from having a discussion. Back home, he shared his idea of creating a space for students to share their diverse views on Israel and Palestine with his longtime friend and neighbor, Kenan Khatib, whose parents are Palestinian. As tensions reached an all-time high among their classmates at their high school, and they said they saw both sides dehumanizing the other, the two teens founded Voices of Understanding last fall, a Seattle nonprofit that aims to bridge differences between students and help them challenge their stances on Israel and the Palestinian territories. "We're not here to have a debate," said Khatib, age 15. "We're here to have a discussion where both sides learn and have an open mind." The organization aims to help students connect respectfully, despite their disagreements, Kalish explained. "Our goal is that when these people talk to each other, they go from being people who hate this other group to being people who are like, these people really aren't that bad." The organization is supported by the American Friends of the Parents Circle, a national group that brings together Israelis and Palestinians who have lost relatives in the conflict. Solutions Not Sides, a United Kingdom educational peace-building program, the United States-based Alliance for Middle East Peace, and Atidna International, a U.S. college-focused Jewish-Palestinian dialogue organization. Voices of Understanding, or VOU, counts Hamas Awadi, a Palestinian peace activist based in the West Bank, Jad Hashim, a Palestinian-American who serves as vice president of Atidna International, and Elijah Kallenberg, founder of Atidna International, as advisors. In hour-long confidential Zoom session, students are invited to share their views while demonstrating empathy and understanding for the other side. After they fill out an online questionnaire inquiring about their views and knowledge of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, students are paired with a participant who holds opposite views and a facilitator who moderates the sessions. Participants can also join small group discussions. The founders aim to have facilitated 100 separate discussions by the end of September. Each meeting starts with a video outlining the rules: to listen attentively, not to interrupt, and to remain respectful, and describing the purpose of the session. Rather than lecturing participants on the history of the conflict, the sessions focus on getting students to talk openly, explained Audi Santelmo, a 24-year-old recent college graduate from France who started moderating sessions in May. Guidelines for facilitators, recommend not to correct each other's statements, noting, quote, "facts are highly contested these days, and you are not likely to agree on them in a one-hour conversation." Instead, moderators should invite participants to accept that They see certain facts differently, rather than trying to straighten each other out. The document suggests students consider what they think the day-to-day lives of people living in Israel and the Palestinian territories are like, what they believe are the biggest misunderstandings about Israel and the Palestinian territories, and what peace would look like to them. At the end of the session, students are asked to reflect on what they learned from the conversation. So far, the organization counts four facilitators, including Kalish's father, Dan, who is also an advisor, and Awadi. All are expected to remain neutral during the sessions, a spokesperson for VOU told Religion News Service. Usually, Santelmo said, she starts by asking participants what they know about Israel and the Palestinian territories and where they've learned it from, she said. We try to bring a conversation where they can share their feelings, said Santelmo, who moved from France to Israel to study conflict resolution and mediation at Tel Aviv University. When she senses tension, Santelmo offers participants a break. Afterward, she has students reflect on what triggered the discomfort and helps them reformulate some of their stances in a way that might be better understood, she said. Everyone has feelings. I'm kind of connected to this, and so obviously I'm not objective. But I think that my feelings about this should be acknowledged, and especially the feelings of the other side should also be acknowledged, said Santelmo, who is Jewish. Taking breaks and switching topics when they hit a roadblock is also what helped Kalish and Katib have fruitful discussions, they both said. Katib, whose maternal family has lived in the village of Maj al-Krum in Galilee, now part of Israel, since 1938, told Kalish about the sense of injustice Palestinians have felt for decades. His paternal grandparents were among about 750,000 Palestinians displaced during the Nakba, the forced exile of Palestinians in 1948, and became refugees in Lebanon. He tried to articulate why some Palestinians viewed the deadly October 7, 2023 Hamas attacks on Israel as an act of liberation, though he said he deplored the violence. When the attack happened, Kalish was completing a semester abroad in Israel as part of a Jewish National Federation fellowship. The program takes Jewish high schoolers to the country to follow an Israel studies curriculum. Kalish left Israel a few days after the attack and told Katib about what it meant for Israeli society. The two teens, who prefer not to use the term conflict to talk about Israel and the Palestinian territories, spent weeks discussing the Israeli occupation in the West Bank, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's right-wing government, and the history and meaning of Zionism before they founded VOU. Though the two disagreed on many things, sometimes circling on one topic for hours, their tense conversations help them broaden their understanding of the decades-long regional tensions, they said. Eva Friedman, a 16-year-old participant from Seattle, said the sessions offered a much-needed space for open discussion. After the October 7th attacks, Friedman, who is Jewish, said discussions were often very emotive. I saw the religious part of it a lot, and I also learned about it in school from a more unbiased perspective. And so I had already been able to see multiple ways to look at the issue, she said. I've always been cautious about it, but I also wanted to learn more. During the session she attended, which Kalisha's father moderated, the discussion started, quote, at a surface level, end quote, before getting deep and touching on what she and her discussion partner thought could help bring peace, she said. Kalish and Katib are partnering with local high schools and colleges to encourage students to enroll in VOU sessions. Their project, they said, aims to help broaden opinions of younger students who might be more open-minded than older ones. While it may not make a change now, in the future, it will make a change, Khatib said. Our second story. Nurses Union report criticizes Ascension Health System for investments against Catholic values. This is written by Aleha Hertzler McCain, excuse me, for Religion News Service. A nurses union report says American Catholic healthcare giant Ascension has invested hundreds of millions of dollars of its pension fund in industries the union says are contrary to Catholic teaching. On September 15th, at a rally for Baltimore nurses who are in contract negotiations with Ascension, National Nurses United plans to release a report alleging Ascension Master Pension Trust's investments in weapons manufacturers, military contractors, mining companies, fossil fuels, and other companies that are at odds with Catholic values. NNU leaders say the report illustrates that Ascension has resources it is not investing in its Baltimore hospital. Robin Buckner, a vascular access nurse who has worked at Ascension's St. Agnes Hospital in Baltimore for about a decade, said the report backs up the nurse's claim that Ascension should put its resources to better use. That money could be used for the patients and the staff, said Buckner, who is not religious, referring to Ascension's mission statement committing to, quote, serving all persons with special attention to those who are poor and vulnerable, end quote. An Ascension spokesperson told Religion News Service, Ascension's pension plan is a fully funded, well-managed, and successful program that underscores our commitment to the well-being of our associates and ensures their financial security in retirement. The spokesperson added, the overwhelming majority of our portfolio supports innovation, health, sustainability, and community well-being, calling any suggestion otherwise inaccurate and misleading. The spokesperson explained, like most large investors, some holdings, such as index investing, may indirectly include companies we would not actively choose. We regularly monitor our portfolio and continually work to phase out any investments that no longer meet our standards when possible. Ascension's investment practices have come under scrutiny before, especially its partnership with private equity firm Tower Brook Capital Partners, through which it invested $200 million into a medical debt collection company that had previously faced an investigation by the Minnesota Attorney General for aggressive and allegedly illegal collection practices. An investigation from STAT reported the tax-exempt health system is moonlighting as a private equity firm. In July, NNU nurses at St. Agnes held a historic one-day strike following more than a year and a half of contract negotiations. They say Ascension has refused to meet their demands, including ensuring safe nurse-to-patient staffing ratios, requiring appropriate nurse assignments based on expertise, and enacting a policy prohibiting patient assignments to charge nurses. Buckner said she has seen the negative impact of inadequate staffing on her own team, which places IVs and central lines on delays in patient care. Sometimes, she said, we come in the morning and see a patient, you know, to start our day, and this patient has been waiting from last night to get IVs, who has had a delay in care. The NNU report relies on public disclosures for the calendar year 2023. Only a sliver of Ascension's investments are available to the public because federal law requires the disclosure of certain information about pension funds. Another of Ascension's investment arms, Ascension Investment Management, manages over $40 billion in an alpha fund, which has outside investors, and those investments are not public. The Ascension spokesperson told RNS, Every dollar generated through our investments is reinvested in patient care, associate wages and benefits, faculty improvements, and services for those most in need. A 2024 Loan Institute report looking at fiscal 2021 found that Ascension received hundreds of millions of dollars in more in tax breaks than it spent on financial assistance at community investment. Nate Johnson, a research analyst for NNU, said the union was motivated to pursue the report after Ascension's fossil fuel investments were highlighted in a report by Climate Safe Pensions, which argued that human-driven climate change is the most existential threat to the health and well-being of humanity. Ascension's leadership has argued it is a leader in transitioning from fossil fuels, but Johnson said its 2023 portfolio had stocks in oil companies it could easily trade. NNU also reports investments in weapons manufacturers, military contractors, including one found liable for contributing to torture, pharmaceuticals, alcohol producers, tobacco companies, gambling companies, apparel companies criticized for their labor practices, mining companies, big banks and carbon-intensive investments, oil and gas companies, and food and beverage conglomerates, including fast food companies. The pension fund also had more than $500,000 invested in Philip Morris International, the tobacco company behind Marlboro, and the report totals more than $2 million in tobacco companies. On the most basic level, why are they invested in tobacco companies? They're a healthcare institution, Johnson said. Clemens Sedmak, a professor of social ethics at the University of Notre Dame, said in an email the allegations in the report are pretty alarming from a moral and theological perspective. Why maximize the return on investment at costs that are not morally justifiable, he said. Sedmak said the principle of non-maximization is important in both Jewish and Christian traditions, which includes observing a non-productive Sabbath, supporting laws and investments that are pro-poor, and promoting the idea of temperance. He added, Catholic institutions can be held to expect, and let us say, higher moral standards, because of the moral claims and teachings of the Church. He also noted Pope Francis had called for a new culture of transparency, especially in financial matters. The report calls on Ascension to annually disclose its investment holdings, divest from fossil fuels, weapons, mining, and other extractive industries, and publicly disclose its most updated socially responsible investment criteria. While National Nurses United has been a particularly vocal critic of Ascension, concerns about its decision-making continue to emerge from other stakeholders. Last month, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported that in Wisconsin, Ascension planned to outsource its intensive care unit staffing to a private equity-backed firm. Local doctors and nurses told the Sentinel they were worried about patient care would suffer from a decision one doctor characterized as, choosing the cheapest model possible. In past years, news reports have described other concerns about Ascension, including that it has closed hospitals in low-income communities and reduced staffing to improve profitability at the expense of patient safety. Notre Dame professor Sedmak pointed to several papal teachings that should shape Catholic investing, including Francis's warning in the 2023 apostolic exhortation Evangelii Gaudium that says the current societal model with its emphasis on success and self-reliance does not appear to favor an investment in efforts to help the slow, the weak, or the less talented to find opportunities in life. And the call of the 2015 papal encyclical Laudato Si to care for the environment. The Ascension spokesperson told RNS that Ascension's investments are aligned with the U.S. Bishops' Conference guidelines, We follow faith-based standards to avoid investing directly in companies or sectors that conflict with Catholic societal teaching, the spokesperson wrote. The Reverend Pedro McDade, a Jesuit who previously worked in banking at Santander and Barclays, said Catholic institutions should take into consideration the USCCB's investing guidelines and Mensurum Bonum because they are all attempts to make a more concrete general principles around the following of Christ. The assistant professor of philosophy at St. Louis University said Catholics should review their investments within the examination of conscience that comes before confession. And they should generally avoid investments in weapons and environmentally unfriendly activities. McDade, who did not review the report, said investing is related to the theological virtue of hope practiced by pilgrims, especially in the Jubilee year, and the idea of a sacrifice that you make on the short term to purchase something with the hope of acquiring a greater benefit. We walk in this world surrounded by material goods in the hope of coming into communion with eternal good, which is communion with Jesus, he said. Today's third story. In first interview, Pope Leo XIV takes on billionaires, polarization, and war. This was written by Claire Giangrave. On Sunday, the Catholic News Service news website, Crux, published excerpts of Pope Leo XIV's first extended interview with any media outlet, giving the first look at his perspective on the papacy and the challenges facing the church and society. Leo talked about his concerns about income inequality, polarization, and the need for peace. We have to continue to remind ourselves of the potential that humanity has to overcome the violence and the hatred that is just dividing us more and more, Leo said in the interview. We live in times when polarization seems to be one of the words of the day, but it's not helping anybody. Or if it's helping anyone, it's very few when everyone else is suffering. The interview, conducted over two sessions in recent weeks and published on his 70th birthday, offers a first glimpse into Leo's personality and priorities. In his conversation with Crux's senior Vatican correspondent, Elise Ann Allen, Leo signaled continuity with his predecessor, Pope Francis, and the late pontiff's vision for dialogue and full participation in the Church, known as synodality. Already positioning himself as a pope of reconciliation, Leo reflected on the reasons behind the depolarization in society and the church today. He pointed to the COVID-19 pandemic, but also a sense of loss of the value of human life as partly responsible for sectarianism and division. Add on top of that a couple of other factors. One which I think is very significant is the continuously wider gap between the income levels of the working class and the money that the wealthiest receive, he said. Shortly after his election on May 8th, the Pope said he took the name Leo because he was inspired by Pope Leo XIII, who added the stresses put on society by the Industrial Revolution in the late 18th century. Leo XIII's encyclical Rerum Novarum on Revolutions laid out the reasons for the Church's support of the working class, fair wages, and the right to unionize, while opposing communism and unbridled capitalism. In the Crux interview, Leo XIV questioned the disproportionate difference in incomes of modern CEOs and those of their workers, and challenged the extreme wealth of billionaires and potential trillionaires such as Elon Musk. What does it mean and what's that about? If that is the only thing that has value anymore, then we're in big trouble, Leo said. The Pope called synodality, whose roots are in Latin, the Latin American church, the antidote to the deep divisions in the church and society describing it as an attitude of an openness, a willingness to understand. He said that some church leaders feel threatened by synodality because of what Leo called a mistaken understanding of their authority. He said a synodal church allows each member to play a role and contribute based on their respective vocations as bishop, priest, missionary, layperson, or family member. It's an attitude which I think can teach a lot to the world today, Leo said. I think this is a way of addressing some of the greatest challenges that we have in the world today. If we listen to the gospel, and if we reflect upon it together, and if we strive to walk forward together, listening to one another, trying to discover what God is saying to us today, there is a lot to be gained for us there. Leo XIV also spoke about the importance of peace in Ukraine. He praised the Holy See's diplomacy efforts to remain above the fray and offered itself as a bridge for dialogue with all parties involved in conflicts. But he also said that the likelihood of the Vatican hosting peace talks between Russia and Ukraine is not as realistic. I think a number of different actors have to push hard enough to make the parties that are at war say, enough is enough and let's look for another way to solve our differences, he said, adding that he has high hopes for human nature and the chance for peace. Leo recognized that the United Nations has lost its ability to bring people together on multilateral issues and said that the key is to build bridges. Building bridges is primarily through dialogue. In a more personal portion of the interview, Leo talked about his experience in the first months of his papacy. There's still a huge learning curve ahead of me, he said. The totally new aspect to this job is being thrown onto the level of world leader, he said. Asked whether he feels more like a citizen of the United States, where he was born, or Peruvian, where he has spent most of his life as a priest and missionary, Leo answered by saying, both and. He said his appreciation for the life of the church in Latin America allowed him to understand some of the vision that Francis had for the church. While he confirmed that he is a fan of the Chicago White Sox baseball team, he said that, as Pope, I'm a fan of all teams. The entire interview will appear in Allen's biography of the Pope, Leo XIV, Citizen of the World, Missionary of the 21st Century, which will be published in Spanish on September 18th and will be available in Portuguese and English in early 2026. Pope Leo XIV finished with saying that he underlined the importance of being open and friendly, even in sports, adding that when Peru and the United States play each other in the World Cup, he will likely back Peru, just because of effective bonds. We've run out of time for today's episode of Religion in the News. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Greg Cockcroft, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Religion in the News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138.